On the cover, Ramon floats alone in the darkness of space. He is attached with a twisting rope to an enormous grandfather clock-shaped satellite. It has broad solar panel wings, and its face reads 2 minutes to midnight.
Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring
Frequency, bringing the megahertz.
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
Wind Shear, full of hot air and out of time.
Now with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 26, The Offer. Issue 3, Everything You Desired.
The issue begins with Ben and Alina standing in front of a computer system looking at a live camera footage of their friend Ramon in an elevator, having just received a very melancholy text message from him.
Once this is done, you have to stop them. I love you. I'll miss you. Maybe we'll meet again sometime.
And did you say you thought it was a laser? Or no, you thought it was time travel related?
I said it was time travel related.
Okay.
But so, I said it was time travel related, but that what they are up to is no good.
Okay. So you receive that message. How do you guys react to that?
Oh, you moron. I swear to everything. You know what? I'm too mad. Let's just go.
And we see a panel like in the screen of Ramon just taking his phone and just snapping it in half and dropping it on the ground.
Okay.
Ben definitely had his phone out, like typing something in response, like, can you tell us more or something?
And you see him snap the phone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man.
But I don't know that you saw
so
that.
So what are you doing? How are you responding to this? Like, they are going up and getting into this spaceship.
I have no idea what he's getting into, but I don't know what he's getting into, but this complicates things. We can't just, you know, disable this rocket mid-flight. Ramon's going to be on there.
I know, but we can't not stop whatever is going on the rocket. Ramon's on there.
So what are you doing? You don't have a lot of time.
Are you acting?
Are you running? Are you standing here? What's going on? What are you doing?
I need to act, but I just don't know how to act.
Okay. Okay. And that look of just stunned
deer in the headlights
fear kind of clicks me into action. Okay, Ben, I'm gonna go. I think I might be able to disable some of these panels, and if we disable some of the panels, they
the
won't
rocket
be able
won't
to
launch.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go.
And so we run.
Where are you running away? So you're running to the tower to go up, or are you trying to run to the bottom of the rocket? Like, where? What part of this rocket are
well,
you aiming
Well, it seems
for?
Kind of foolhardy to try to go underneath a rocket.
I don't think I'd go out on the tarmac area.
Yeah, we're basically following Ramon's path.
Are you going to the emergency elevator that Frequency found?
Yes.
Yeah, because that's the same, right? I'm picturing it as just there's this room and then the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
That's the access way. So yeah, that's where
if you run to basically the elevator that they went to, but their elevator is the slow one. Like there's a fast elevator.
Yes.
Okay. What are you doing when you get there? Because the elevator is gone.
Trying to see if there's some, you know, if there's connections between this tower and the rocket. Is there a way that we can, you know, disconnect something or inject some kind of like malicious code or something like that?
You find like some kind of a computer screen or something that you can type in and connect to. And as you sort of like follow the connection up, that you find that so like normally like the rocket has disconnected. It's under its own control. But you find also that like where there might be just sort of like passive connections, you run into that hard code, the security systems that you have not yet begun to figure out how to breach yet. It's incredibly foreign, and this is just, you're not going to get through this through software.
Yeah. Alina, I can't get through this. This is some high level stuff I've never even seen before.
Can you, I don't know, can you get one of the elevator doors to open? Maybe I can, once you're closer to the machine, you might be able to figure things out.
Sure. I think I can drop this one.
Yeah. You knew that that was there. You know there's an emergency elevator, and that is not behind the big firewall. That is easily within your availability.
Yeah.
And so you're going to call this other elevator down.
Yep.
So let's cut back to Ramon.
Yeah, I just awkwardly snapped my phone in half.
You just awkwardly snapped probably... your phone in half. The archivist kind of gives you a strange look, and the bloodomancer gives you a very strange look, but...
No bars in 1950.
The bloodomancer gives you a weird look, and it's just like, all right, boy, whatever. He doesn't, he's just very confused and he doesn't care. And the elevator dings and the door is open and the archivist and the bloodomancer begin walking to the rocket across this catwalk.
I'm walking next to them.
Okay. So they're moving to this rocket. Mm-hmm. And unless you have an objection, they are going to walk, they are going to get into this rocket.
Yeah.
Bringing you with them.
Yeah.
And they're like inside this rocket, there is like, you can see there's, like, you're inside of this casing, inside the fairing, and you can see that there's the satellite. And it's this big sort of thing. You can see that it has large curled up solar panels, and there is a ladder that you can kind of climb down a layer or down a level. And so you're sitting just below the actual satellite, and there's a little bit of a command room.
Okay.
And there are... three big seats that are where people traveling in the spaceship are going to sit down in. And if you don't object, then they're going to like point a seat for you and everyone is going to sit down and start like buckling themselves in.
Yeah. And Ramon goes and sits with them and starts buckling up, and he looks to the archivist and goes, so this time travel bit, when we get up there, I don't get any of this advanced tech science side of things. What do I do? And I'm actually using a move.
Okay.
I am using what's this thing? When you ask for someone else's guidance on the modern world, they must tell you what they think you should do or how you should act. If I act that way, I clear a condition and shift mundane up and any other label down. If I act that way and it goes poorly, mark potential.
Okay. So is there a role associated with that?
Nope. The archivist just tells me what I'm supposed to do.
Okay.
Now, look, that might be totally the archivist doing, like...
some evil?
They can be as okay. evil as they want to be. They just have to tell me what I am supposed to do with all of this modern technology stuff.
Okay. They're going to say...
We will launch the rocket. Mm-hmm. Deploy the satellite.
Okay.
Collect energy.
Okay.
Through all of which we just need to wait. And then when enough power is collected, we can activate the machine. And that's when the time travel happens.
Do I have to go through a door or... I just get sent.
You'll sit here in the chair. The travel will occur from the chair.
Thank you.
Just don't leave the chair.
You got it. Stay in the chair. Wait until it's done.
And
if I follow that advice, I get to shift mundane and clear a condition.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. Let's cut back to Ben and Alina. So this elevator comes down like a bat out of hell because it's the emergency escape elevator.
Yeah.
The door opens. And there's really only one button inside it, which is all the way to the top.
Okay.
Are you guys going up?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Okay. So you push the button, the elevator doors close, and it starts going up. I don't know how fast it goes going up. It probably doesn't need to go super fast, but...
But it doesn't have to stop at every floor.
But it doesn't have to stop at every floor.
Okay.
And so you are going to get pretty quickly up to the top of this rocket. And so when you exit, you see this long kind of catwalk with, it's like you can see out, but it's black tinted. And so no one can see in to see that you're there. And there's a door, like a hatch that's closed that would be to get into the rocket. And you start to feel the rumble of the engines, beginning to ignite.
I've got to get up to that rocket and see if I can do something from there. If you want to stay here, that's fine. Keep the door open. If I can make it back, I will. Feel free to push that button.
It sounds like you're trying to tell her about how she is and how the world works. You're like, you're not going to judge her if she wants to run away.
For me, it's not running away. It's if you don't want to come out to the danger. So it's
okay. So maybe shift the danger down. I'm rejecting it anyway.
Yeah. So. Okay. Okay.
So roll to reject his influence.
It's 9.
On a 7 to 9, you get to choose. So on a hit, you successfully hold yourself and tune them out. So you hear him say, like, there's no shame in, like, waiting back here. You don't have to throw yourself all the way into this. You don't have to be a savior. But you're going to hold true to what you feel about the world. So choose one of those options.
I'm going to clear condition.
Okay.
And I'm going to clear insecure.
And you have to act immediately to prove them wrong.
I'm running ahead.
Okay.
Nice.
So Alina starts, you say that, you're like, hey, maybe we don't have to, like, and she just starts booking it.
Yeah. Excelsior.
I'm right behind her, probably like tripping over my feet at first.
Okay. And as you guys are running, you see like the big fuel cables that connect the tower to this rocket disconnect.
Uh-oh.
and flip down, and you hear more rumbling as you reach this closed door. What's your plan? How are you getting? Are you trying to get into this spaceship? How are you trying to get into this spaceship?
I feel like there literally has to be, like on a plane, a giant red lever that you can pull that just opens the door.
Okay. Sure. Yeah, I like that.
All right.
Right, yeah, like an, I mean, like an emergency.
And you know that it should be there. Like, you don't want to destroy this door, because in the event that you get onto this rocket and then it launches, you don't want this door to be open.
Mm-hmm.
So you crank this emergency handle, the door opens. Are you both getting inside this rocket?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
And then you're closing the door behind you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the door closes behind us, okay. James? Let's not make everything our decision.
The door closes behind you. And you feel just the immense rattling, and you can see in front of you this spaceship, the satellite. It's like, it's bigger than a car. It's enormous.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, and everything is sort of like shaking, and all of a sudden you feel just like a train hit you. And you are slammed to the floor. And this rocket begins to launch. So, Ramon, let's cut back to you. So you are not having as bad of a day.
No!
You are in a spacesuit. You're in a chair.
Yeah.
It's designed to protect you during this launch.
Mm-hmm.
You're not... I mean, you know why there's a whole, like, cabin here for people. But, like, normally there wouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And so you feel this, so you feel the shaking and you can see, like, there are probably some screens. There's like probably a hub that projects up, information that looks a lot like the Archivist's, like, hologram projector.
Yeah.
And you can see that everything is green and everything is, like, ready to launch. You see the rocket actually probably animating as it launches up. You feel the pressure of the rocket as you're being lifted up into space. I think that the chair actually, like, it doesn't, like, clamp around you, but it is, like, it's gripping you quite tightly. And I think that some of it, like, connects, like, the chair, like, when you sat down into it, actually connects into into your suit.
Great.
So it's monitoring your your life signs and stuff like that, and it's making sure that you're feeling good, and that you're safe, and that you're, like, correctly positioned or whatever, and that you're not you haven't lost blood flow to whatever your limbs are.
My blood flow is awesome.
Your blood flow is awesome. And so you feel yourself being lifted up into space, and I think that, like, your blood flow is really good.
Yeah,
but you have not been in space before. Like, you have probably not even, like, you're from the 1950s. You've probably not even driven in.
I've never,
like,
flown a plane.
I was
in a helicopter once.
You were in a helicopter once, but you have not felt this, like, fast acceleration of, like, crazy fast cars or, like, speed trains. And so I think for a moment you black out.
Cool.
And when you come to, you like, you're a little groggy, and but you can look around and you can see that you are like something, like, you can't really see a whole lot because you're in this enclosed capsule.
Yeah.
And there's a diagram, like that hologram of the rocket, which was showing the trajectory up, is now showing the satellite.
Okay.
It's got all of these like crazy wings of solar panels out and expanded. And there's a sign, there's like words and stuff all around it. And one of them just says fully charged. And the archivist who is standing at the station pushing some buttons turns to you and says,
I always keep my word, Ramon Castillo. Are you ready to travel through time?
Can you give me 3 years before? So I have some time to get things together before everything ends.
They crack open their book and pull up another newspaper headline and say,
I wouldn't worry about that, Ramon. I'm not sending you back to your timeline. I'm sending you back to ours, the one that didn't end.
And there's a newspaper article that just says, Windshear disappears after abandoning teammates. And it slowly does the thing where it fades and changes where they're showing you the two different versions.
Yeah.
And it says, Windshear returns after unexplained absence.
You don't have to worry about stopping the end. This world, this timeline hasn't changed.
So something else that I think that will trigger is also, so that newspaper article, I may have triggered one of your things.
Yeah, I think you did.
You
betrayed a close friend?
Yes.
Yeah, so my future self did that, and I am circling it. But the older me will still be there.
I'm sure you will work something out. All I have to do is push this button, and you'll get everything you ever wanted.
That's not what I wanted. That's not my wife, that's not my kids, that's not my family. That's someone else's wife and kids and family. I'm not your Windshear.
And the archivist is going to push the button.
Yeah, okay. So Windshear is trying to unbuckle himself, but it might be too late for that.
Yeah. So you feel this like tingle of energy run over your body. And now you can tell for sure this chair has you locked in. Like as you try to struggle to get up, you can't, and you feel like it tingles starting from your back and it curls over your body, and you just feel like this like sickening imploding feeling. And in 1 second you are in a chair in space, and the next second when you open your eyes you are in the 1950s. In your uncle's bookstore.
Am I still in a stupid spacesuit?
No, you are not.
Okay.
You are in appropriate 1950s attire.
Okay. I grab the chair that's behind my desk where I do the books, and I just destroy it against a wall.
Okay. And we're gonna cut back to Ben and Alina. The spaceship is hurtling upwards. Through the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are pressed to the floor here. You can feel things disconnecting and sort of chunking as this thing launches up into space.
I will have definitely blacked out.
Yes. Okay.
I'm just saying, if he blacked out in a comfy chair and spacesuit.
I actually want to say you don't. You don't black out.
Oh, okay.
What happened was... I took as much telekinetic power as I could to keep you from like hitting your head, smacking your head against the wall.
I like that. I think you are able to just like using your telekinesis, protect your each other a little bit.
You can negate a bit of the acceleration.
The pressure. Yes. Yeah.
And so you reach
cruising altitude,
let's say. And suddenly you are not weightless like you might have expected, but like you can feel that there is no pressure, but there is like definitively gravity below you.
Hmm.
That's strange. Like a little bit of gravity
feels like you're on Earth.
Damn. That's not fun. All right, cool. Fine. So I think we should...
So you don't know that there are people. I mean, you know there are people on this ship somewhere.
Yeah.
But you don't know where they are. Looking around you, you see... I think we said there was a hatch pretty close to the door. So there's probably a big hatch on the ground near where you are. But also, the satellite is right there, curled up in its little fairing. ready to go.
All right. Well, at the very least, we should figure out a way to make sure this doesn't get to where it's supposed to go. Yeah?
I'm just sort of standing up and looking around, and I think I'm looking to see where Ramon is.
I don't think that needs to be an assessor situation. I think there is really just the one, like, you are, like, this is, as far as you can tell, there is one thing that is the floor beneath you, and then there is this big-ass satellite, and then there is the fairing around it. So there's really just the one way down.
Yeah. I think my priority is Ramon.
Okay.
Not saying that you're a bad person not being it.
So is your priority to destroy the satellite and prevent it from being launched, or is your priority to help Ramon?
I guess the satellite can wait.
Okay.
It doesn't need to be.
You could split up.
I'm not pressuring you. My thought is, like, I'd be like, you've got this. You can figure it out.
Okay, fine. I'm going to look around for some things to jiggle and wangle so it doesn't work right anymore.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you're going to go for the satellite.
Yes.
And you're going to go for the hatch.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Alina, you checked out the schematics of this. I think you can do some work on deactivating this thing.
Yes. Yeah. You go. Go find Ramon.
So let's follow Ben first as you begin to... So this hatch is not going to... It's not going to be a problem to get through. Yeah. It's not locked. They weren't expecting anyone else to be here.
Yeah. And I can tell this little catwalk thing that goes around it. There's no one here.
Yeah. So as you go down into this, like, you can't see into this room. So how are you? Are you going to try to be sneaky? Are you just coming in, guns blazing? Like, how are you approaching this?
I'm pulling open the hatch door, which, you know, you can't really do in a sneaky way.
What you're trying to do is quiet as possible.
I'm trying to be quiet, but if you're below there, you would see it open. So,
okay.
So just open up the door and then probably
look down.
Looking down, but, you know, I'm sure there's a ladder or something there. So I'm just working my way down.
Okay. So what you see when you look down into this lower floor is three seats, and there's like a big central console that that armored figure who we know is the archivist, but you haven't met yet, is typing away at this computer system, pulling up just the craziest, like, literally just looking at code and, like, looking at the craziest looking code that you've ever seen. And where you struggled to get through the security system, they are just interacting with this code like it's nothing. Mm. There is also do you know the Bloodomancer?
I don't think so, no.
Bloodomancer.
You might, though, because they faced off against him.
Oh,
I think it is reasonable that you guys...
I would know about.
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever...
So there's a person who you might recognize as the Bloodomancer, and he is... sitting at, like, a console, but I think he's just, like, playing poker, like, with himself. Like, he's just got cards. In the third seat, there is a... Ramon's body is sitting in the seat, and he has this, like, crazy futuristic-looking head thing connected to his skull. And you can see that there are these big cables that are running out of his head into the computer console. And then he has, like, out of his chest, there is, like, this big... there's a rig that is, like, punctured his chest, and his blood is being siphoned out up and into the computer as well.
Oh my god. Holy crap.
Guys, this is going really well.
Mom!
Okay. Have they seen me?
No. Okay. They're very focused.
Okay.
I mean, in the sense that, sorry, the archivist is very focused, and the Bloodomancer is just too busy not giving a fuck.
Paying attention.
And Ramon is... whatever.
Okay.
I think you are going to be able to get down there without, like, they are not expecting anyone, okay, and they're very focused.
I think I had said I was just jumping down, so I just wanted to make sure that. Okay.
So that's the scene you see down in this bay. There's also, like, I think that this ship that you're in, it has some, like, side nooks. Like, there's clearly some stuff that's, like now that you're looking at it, that kind of, like, doesn't make sense. Like, there's a kitchen, there's, like, a couple bunks, like, built into the side walls. Like, this is looking a little bit more like a spaceship than, like, a rocket that you were expecting.
Okay.
And so, like, there's also big, like, cargo things. And so if you're looking for a place to hide, you will easily be able to find.
Yeah. I was gonna say, I'm gonna duck behind something. And I need to find some way to communicate back with Alina.
Okay.
Can't use our phones.
I feel like we should.
You can use your phone. You can, so like, you can probably end up in a situation where you could talk to her.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, and, or sorry, she could talk to you, but you couldn't talk to her without speaking. Unless you can text with your mind.
You can, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So you can, you yeah, can communicate.
You, okay. can, you could probably just type on her phone and then read what is written on her phone. It yeah. just nothing sends. It's yeah. like a yeah. draft message yeah. being sent yeah. back and forth.
Okay. So then I'll, you know, just, I'm trying to signal back to her that, you know, I found Ramon. There's, you know, these two other people here, and he's rigged up to something that does not look friendly.
What do you, how do you respond to that?
Well, there's just a panel of her looking at her phone and then looking up towards the sky. She is at the sky right now. She's in the sky. Just rolling her eyes, like, of course. So she just basically looks at the satellite, grabs like a whole bunch of different parts, and just tears them off. And it just clang, 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 and then makes her way to where Ben was.
Okay.
That's the great thing about sabotaging things, is it doesn't take that much take time, work.
Yeah. So let's cut back to Ramon. It's the 1950s.
Yes.
Everything is kind of black and white.
Yeah, of course.
At least as it was portrayed in this comic.
Yeah.
It's a grayscale.
You have just smashed a chair.
Yeah.
So I think that you hear, so you smash this chair.
Yeah.
And you, and then you hear the like the ding ding of yeah. the bell as someone enters, and it's Raquel.
And Ramon just like is standing in the back. He's hidden from the door, but he was like able to like peek around, and he just like pauses for a second, takes in a deep breath, and walks out into the room.
Mm-hmm. And are you still holding like parts of this broken chair?
No, I left the okay. broken chair like shattered against the wall.
And Raquel will just be like, Ramon, you're home from your class early. This is an unexpected surprise.
Hi. Yeah, I had to stop off real quick and grab something. I've got to run back. I need to get back. But
you'll be home for dinner, right?
Yeah, and it's good seeing you. But I've got to go back. But I'll be home for dinner. I promise I'll be home for dinner.
Okay.
And he like quickly just grabs a random book and like full tilt runs.
Okay.
Out. I think like,
she's going to try to give you a hug as you run past her.
Yeah, he stops and just like hugs her and like holds her like really close mm-hmm. and just like strokes the back of her head and is just like, yeah, just okay. Don't worry, okay? I'll be back for dinner. It's no big deal. Just I need to prove a point in class, and I needed to get this book to do it. And he like holds up a book, and I don't even know what book it is. It's okay. just like a book. It's a random. It's like a novel. Probably.
I think she's laughing at you. Like this is just some. Like of course he's got some book. Point he needs to prove. He needs a book. That's how Ramon is.
And he's running, and he's gonna go to where he's supposed to be, to see if he's there still.
Okay, where is he supposed to? Well, it was
because he was supposed to be in class
or something. Okay, yeah. So you, what class would it have been? Because he was taking like, I forget exactly what
he was doing. So if this is like basically when,
this is before he left.
This is before he left
the end.
Before the end, 3 years back. Mm-hmm. So at this point. Oh, at this point, Raquel would have been pregnant.
Okay.
And they probably recently figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's taking adult learning classes
okay.
to get his GED.
Okay.
But like not, I don't think it was okay. called a GED then, but like he's basically like taking as many classes. He's worked out ways to take extra classes yeah, so to get his high school diploma okay. as quickly as possible.
So you enter, so you get to this class. Mm-hmm. Like you know where it is. You might remember
that.
You did it.
I did that 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you do you like just burst into this room? Or are you walking in slowly?
I want to I think I know where the window is.
Okay.
And I'm going to try to like just climb outside and look in the window and see if I see myself.
Okay. You do not.
Okay.
There's just an empty seat.
Then
that you know is the one that you normally sat in.
I drop down and go to take the seat.
Okay. And I think that the teacher kind of looks at you weird, like, you're never late, Ramon. Like, why would you be late? Like, this is so weird.
There was an emergency at the shop.
A book emergency?
Small fire. We were able to save everything. Yeah. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. All right. Well, get your notepad out, and then let's dive back in.
And he starts writing. And actually, I realize I missed a mechanical thing.
Okay.
Because I followed the archivist's advice.
Okay.
I had to shift my labels, and I cleared a condition. Of staying in one place.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. He told me to just stay in one place, and I just stayed in one place.
Yes.
So I cleared hopeless and shifted superior down because I'm an idiot, and mundane up because I had to.
Okay.
And then because it went poorly, I got to mark potential. So I did that.
Why did it go poorly?
Because I'm not in my world.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And so like, as I had understood with him,
okay,
I was going to be going back to my world, and now I'm in a place that I might have to find and kill myself.
Okay.
So like, as far as I can tell, this went poorly.
Okay. All right. That's fine. So you are in class and everything is going kind of normally.
Yeah.
What do you do after class? Do you sit through this whole class?
Yeah.
And then what is your plan after this? Like, are you?
I'm going and getting a newspaper.
Okay.
I'm basically trying to like orient myself.
Okay.
So like I get a newspaper, I get to the highest place I can in the city to try to like take a look and see if things look right. And like I do a couple little checks to figure out if it seems like this is my world or if this is a different world.
Yeah. So I think that you grab this newspaper and you, as you're like flipping through it, there are like these kind of like weird moments where like things look like, it's just like you're struggling to read these words a little bit more than you should be. It feels like they're just moving a little bit.
Okay.
And it's not really like a case of like, it's not like the newspaper changing from one headline to another.
Yeah.
It's just like that they kind of like, they're a little bit blurrier, and then all of a sudden they click in and you can see them. And like, it's just like, you're weirdly like just struggling to read through, but like everything other than that, like it could just be the like residual effects of time travel.
Yeah.
You're really just, but everything looks normal as far as you can tell.
Okay.
You're not seeing anything out of place other than just you feel a little disoriented still.
Okay. Then in that case, I promised I would be back for dinner. Mm-hmm. So I start just going into the routine that I was supposed to have.
Okay. And at no point during that routine do you run into another Ramon.
Okay.
Let's cut back to Alina and Ben. So, Alina, you have just trashed a part of this satellite. Mm-hmm. You'd seen the schematics, so you probably grabbed some stuff that was important, but you didn't spend a ton of time on this.
Yeah, no.
But you're going to try to save your friend Ramon.
Mm-hmm.
This hatch is open. Mm-hmm. Are you just jumping down? I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked Ben. Like, are you coming in guns blazing? Or are you going to try to sneak and join him?
I'm going to sneak. I'm going to stealth mode because I need to assess the situation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Myself.
You have a move for like...
Yes. I have lots of moves.
I mean, but you have a move for assessing the situation before you...
Yes.
...join a battle or whatever. So what is that move and what do you have to roll?
Be mindful of your surroundings when you assess the situation before entering the fight. You may ask one additional question even on a miss.
Okay, cool.
So it's just the same.
This is not exactly a fight, but it's not exactly not adversarial.
Nice.
Okay, so this is still an assess the situation. You just get to ask an extra question?
Yes.
Okay, so you on a 10 plus, you get to, I assume that's a 10 plus.
Yes.
Okay.
12 on the dice.
On the dice, and then with your conditions and stuff?
Yeah, it's a 14.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
We're good.
So you get to ask three questions then?
Yes.
Okay, what are your questions?
Okay. Who here is most vulnerable to me?
probably the Bloodomancer, because mm-hmm. they are just like fucking off playing solitaire. Like they're okay. like not paying attention to anything. The Archivist is like standing up, focused on this computer screen. Like they're active and like moving around, but the Bloodomancer is like got their feet propped up. They're like leaning against this console, like just not paying attention.
Okay. What here is the biggest threat? Dying in space alone.
The biggest threat. So I think that the biggest threat
mm-hmm.
is there is this machine hooked up to your friend Ramon.
Okay.
And it is clearly in some way connected to his head, and it is literally pumping blood out of his chest right now. It looks like it's pumping the blood back in, too. Like, there's a bunch of different... It's not like it's just draining him of blood. Mm-hmm. But it is running that blood through the computer system. And so, mm-hmm. like, that is... It cannot be good.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, whereas these other two people might be dangerous, like, this is happening now.
Okay. Really, what I want to ask is, what here can I use to fly this fucking spaceship?
I mean, you can ask that.
Well, then there you go. Really go for it.
All right, what here can I use to fly this spaceship back to Earth?
So there is this. There is a like the central console that the Archivist is kind of like touching things on, and then and looking at the command like holograms, and they're running over to different consoles and stuff on other sides. But this central console seems to be the prime way that people are like that the Archivist is doing things on this ship. It's a fair bet that if there were a control system, it would be on that central console.
Okay. All right. So those are my three questions.
So are you sort of hiding over in the corner with me? Like you came down and...
Okay. Yeah. So here's... Okay. So looks like the Bloodomancer is... I don't know why he's here other than it looks like he's taken some blood from Ramon. And that can't be good. I think that's our first step is we get the blood back into Ramon and we stop the machine. I think the next step is to get Lord Vader over there away from the thing. Maybe, I don't know, once we get the blood back in Ramon and take those things off his head, I'm going to sweep the leg and then see what I can use from the satellite thing to tie them up. Cool?
Okay. I'm worried about just unhooking him from those things, though. Let's try and get the two of them under control.
Yes. We've got to get them away from the machines first.
Divide and conquer?
I've got a score to settle with the Bloodomancer.
I like robots.
Okay.
That one looks like a robot.
All right.
Okay. So let's pause there and jump back to Ramon.
Can I zoom us forward through dinner?
Sure. Absolutely.
So we get a couple panels that just show like Ramon having dinner with his family, and like it's him and Raquel, and like we get a couple little interactions of him with the rest of his family. And in all of them, he has, like, this sort of, like, smile that's kind of just, like, taking it in. Like, just, mm-hmm. like, experiencing this moment. And then we get a panel of,
Can I just really quickly point out that through all of dinner, nothing really seems weird. Again, the other Ramon doesn't show up.
Yeah.
It's like this is everything you always wanted.
Yeah. And that's not how Ramon lives. He doesn't get everything he always wants. And he knows that.
He did crime and he got his reward.
Yeah, it sucks. so we get a panel that shows like Raquel going to bed and him like kissing her goodnight. Just like, and we get a panel of him like kissing her on the forehead and just going to where he has like some of his stuff stowed. He's got just like a bag on top of a roof mm-hmm. that he like tucks something under some shingles.
Yeah.
And he goes there and dresses in the wind shear costume.
Nice.
And starts going through the city, trying to piece things together. And like part of it is just running to run. Mm-hmm. Part of it is just to like experience the air. And I, what I'm going to try to do is assess the situation.
Okay. Can I tell you while you're preparing that, you are running through the city just sort of like to feel things out, get a sense for how everything is, breathe in the air. You have never felt more alive. You feel so good. Like you've just like when before you went back in time, you'd had like the crap kicked out of you. You were like you were struggling with the emotions of like doing crime with some villains. You fought yourself. Like you were feeling very physically exhausted, and you feel none of that now. You feel refreshed. Like you're home. Your wife is here. You're in familiar places. This is your time. Everything is great.
I'm about to roll at a -4.
Oh boy.
Because I am guilty and my superior is so low.
Okay.
That is a 2.
Okay.
So I am not, that's a miss.
That was to assess the situation.
Because what I was, if this helps at all, I was going to ask, what here can I use to prove that this is real?
Okay.
Like, that this is really my time. I'm not considering the idea that this is fake.
Yeah.
Like, Brandon is considering the idea that this is fake.
Why would you think that?
But Ramon is...
Yeah. He's just looking to prove something to prove that this is real.
Like that it's really his world, because he thinks that this is the wrong world. And so he wants to know that before he does anything else that isn't right.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, obviously going and having this dinner and, like, being with these people isn't right. He's lying to them. So he wants to... If this is his world, then he wants to start living.
Okay. But and he can't, if not, he can't needs, just kind of let go of that
he
tension.
He can't let go of that tension.
And so you are just searching through the night, looking for things, seeing if the crime feels familiar, seeing if the things you've put places are where you remembered them.
Yeah.
And as far as you can tell, everything is just perfect.
Okay.
And we're going to cut back to the other people. Mm-hmm. And I'll follow up on that later.
Cool.
So you guys were about to attack.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that before you jump out and start to do whatever you are about to do, you're sort of like kind of like latently connected to a lot of the like computer systems, right? Like you can see the frequencies of stuff like going on.
I can sense those, just like someone would like hear like something beeping off in another room.
Yeah, and you hear something coming through the computer systems that's humming, like that's kind of like it's making noise around Wind Shear. And it kind of like it's this thing that you've heard in your head since you got down here, and it's just kind of like nibbling at the back of your brain, and like right as you're about to step out, it sort of like coalesces, and you can finally like you finally place it because it's familiar, and it just sounds like this like humming, and it just is like. And it's the creepy, just like muttering voice of Ultracade.
Great. Wonderful.
Shit. Does this spaceship have Wi-Fi?
You don't hear this.
I know.
Just him. Just to be clear.
Is this literally as we're both about to jump out? I hear this.
So you've been hearing this for a while.
Oh, yeah.
It's just been what is that sound in the back of my head? I can't place it. And like, as you were about to stand up to go, whatever, do fighting.
Okay.
All of a sudden you're like, oh shit, that's what this is.
Okay. So I can't necessarily all of a sudden like stop and be like, hey, let's not do this yet. Let's have a conversation.
I mean,
no,
I think that's up to you. I think, but it's probably too late.
It's probably too late.
It probably even like, as you go to stand up, it probably like, It hits you hard enough that you maybe even stumble a little bit.
Am I noticed in my...
I mean, I think if you are standing up preparing to attack, then okay.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you'll get in one attack before they notice you.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now that Alina did some pre-pro. Oh, fuck, I hate my life. All right. Alina did some preparing, and mm-hmm. while the Bloodomancer was playing solitaire, she tied his shoelaces together.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
Love it.
So when you guys stand up to face off against these guys, do you say anything, or like, are you just acting? Like, what are you doing? Like, what is your first?
Hey, Kentucky Fried douchebag.
And then what are you doing?
I'm just...
You're like, gonna try to push him over?
Yeah, I'm just okay. charging.
I would like you to roll to directly engage a threat.
Yeah, Lena, do it.
I am for you.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Seven
plus two plus one.
Nice.
Okay.
Boom.
So seven, eight, nine,
That's
10.
That's a 10.
Okay. So on a 10, you pick two from the list. You trade blows.
Okay. So... this early on in the fight, I'm going to resist and avoid their blows.
Okay. That's always good.
And mm-hmm. I'm going to create an opportunity for my ally.
Okay. And so are you physically tackling him, or are you pushing him with telekinesis? Like, how are you doing this?
I'm kind of just irritated that I'm here still.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go for the full-on tackle.
Okay. And yes. You had previously tied his shoes together.
Yes.
So you just like barrel into him. He's got his feet up on the console. He is not paying attention. Playing cards go flying. And like he tries to struggle a little bit, but his feet are suddenly tied and he can't figure out what's going on. And you just like tackle him to the ground and just start like, I guess, punching him. Whatever your attack looks like.
It looks like me taking some Velcro straps and hog tying him.
Okay. Nice. And I think that is a pretty massive distraction. And the archivist turns to look at you. And Ben, what do you do?
So I was hoping that would happen. so I think as the archivist turns and is like facing away, I'm sort of basically doing the same thing. I'm doing the patented frequency, scream and yell and jump on the person's back.
Okay.
It worked for the director so well.
Yeah, I don't really have a way of expressing this, but I'm kind of really disappointed that I don't have something cool that I can yell like Alina did. And I'm jumping onto the archivist's back, I'm trying to think of something, and it just comes out like, I'm just like, take that, robot. It's absolutely nothing.
Okay. I would like you to roll to directly engage a threat as well.
Oh, boy. So that's a 4. plus danger is a plus 0. So I rolled a 4.
Oh, no.
I should have had a better catchphrase to yell.
So you...
Mark potential.
Yeah, mark potential. So you run and try to jump on their back, but you're really distracted by the fact that you just didn't have a good catchphrase. And that's like between the like...
And I'm also really distracted by the fact that I'm hearing this humming.
The creepy humming.
And I'm sure at this point now in my head, it's quite loud.
It's getting louder, yeah, as you move around. Now that you've identified it, it's like one of those things that you just can't like unhear. It's like this buzzing in the background. So you jump on them... on their back, and I think the archivist just kind of like twists like all like just like a kind of like a reaction of like they're twisting their body to try to like throw you off, and you just don't have a good grip. And you land and roll on the floor, and you finish on your back, and you're just looking up, and there's like this big like cabinet, and it just goes and opens.
Uh-oh.
And the robot body of Trip steps out of this cabinet.
Oh no,
bitch!
Before and looks down at you. I want to cut back to Ramon real quick.
Okay,
so you are. Let's see, where are we? So you're running around,
yeah,
in your costume, And I think you come, so you come upon some crime. Mm-hmm. Someone is being mugged. There's a young boy in an alleyway, and there are these like two big gruff dudes, and they're just like they're backing him into this alleyway, which is like has a chain fence in the back that's tall enough that it would be like this kid's like kind of backed into a dead end here.
Yeah.
And one of the toughs is just like, "What time is it, kid? Tell me what time it is." And the kid's like, "What the hell? I don't know what you're talking about. What's going on?" And the other gruff is just like, "Give us all your money and tell us what date it is. Give us your money. Come on. No one has to get hurt here."
Interesting.
And they're just pushing forward towards this kid who's like, "I don't have any money. I don't know what date it is."
Yeah, Windshear obviously is not going to let that go down. Even if this is not a kid in his time, even if this is not a real kid, who knows? But he's not.
You're such a timelineist.
No, yes. I said even if. So he runs and he like jumps off a building and just like lands. I think I'm going to try to land between
the two guys.
The two, like, yeah. Two like, toughs. No, between the toughs and the kid.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he's just like, he's in the full Windshear look. And do they have guns or
no? They're just kind of like big dudes.
They're probably bigger than Windshear is if they're big dudes. Windshear's like, not
they
big.
Don't have any weapons drawn.
Yeah. And he's just going to like land between them and put up his hands and go, "You're looking for the time."
"No, we're looking for money. That kid's money. Who are you?" Was Windshear a hero in his time? Would these people know him?
He'd have been really new to it.
So
at that point,
we're just looking for that kid's money. Who are you? This
kid's like 8. Why would he have money?
Because he knows what time it is.
This is wrong. This isn't how things go down. What are you? Are you working for like? Only the future has weird time-based villains. What is this?
They're kind of like just very confused by this whole conversation. They're like, "It's a mugging. That kid's going to give us all his money. And now that you're here, why don't you give us all your money?"
Because I don't have any. Hold on. And he just like grabs one of them and punches him in the face and just tries to like knock the guy out if he can.
Yeah, I think you do that.
And then just
the other guy is just like, "In this day and age, in this date, you don't have any money. Who are you? What is this?"
And like once he has one knocked out, he's going to grab the other and try to like jump with him up onto a building.
Okay.
God, I'm becoming awful. And just like lean him back over the building Batman style.
Is it that I've led you to becoming a villain?
Yes, James is so you've sorry. Led me to become a villain. And so he's just like leaning him off the building.
Yeah.
And
do you want to pierce his mask?
Yes, I want to pierce his mask. Okay. That's what I was just thinking. Although I don't love doing that.
I think this is
also maybe going to be a -4.
Okay.
Oh, no, it isn't. It's going to be a -1. That is a 6.
Okay. So you were piercing his mask. And what were you trying to figure out when you pierced this guy's mask?
I'm trying to figure out if he understands why he's asking for the time and date. Because it doesn't make sense that he'd be trying to mug an 8-year-old and try to get the time and date. So, like, why doesn't he know is kind of my question.
Okay.
And I have some theories as Brandon.
Yeah. So, I think that... Okay, so here's how this works. He is just, like, panicking, and he's just, have you asked him, like, why he's asking for the time and date?
Or
he's just like, "I don't know what the time and date is. What is going on here?" And I think that there is just, there's a moment where you just kind of, like, stop, and you think back to this whole trip to the past. And just, like, you went to class, and the teacher was like, "Why are you late?" And Raquel was like, "Don't be late for class, or don't be late for dinner.
Yeah,
we have a date night.
Yeah.
And you had some casual conversations, and like she asked you what time it was a couple more times, like, you know, in just like a weird casual way that people are like, hey, do you know what time it is? Like, because you don't have clocks everywhere in your apartment. Yeah. And like, but it's all like suddenly feeling very strange.
Yeah.
And I think that you had said before the thought that you were like, Ramon was concerned that this was not his timeline.
Yeah.
But I think that now he's starting to be concerned that this is not real.
Yeah.
And I would like you to take a powerful blow.
Sure.
Because I think that that is going to hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, now I roll well. That is a 10 plus.
Oh, boy. So on a 10 plus, you choose one from that list.
So I'm going to choose two options from the 7 to 9 list. You give ground, your opposition gets an opportunity, and you struggle past the pain, mark two conditions, bringing me to all conditions marked.
We're going to cut back to the spaceship with Alina and Ben. And Ben, so Alina, you are on the floor pinning down the Bloodomancer, having just tackled him. And Ben, you were just thrown to the floor, and the robot Trip has just stepped over on top of you and is looking down at you. And both of you kind of like glance up as a klaxon starts in the room, and the computer system and the archivist is still standing, like, is looking over at you, but behind them, and the previously sort of like just like light yellow white hologram is now turning like a brighter green that is bathing this spaceship in this bright green light, and it's indicating in big block letters, temporal direction identified, time address locked in.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at AndTheMeltdowns. Windshear is played by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. Frequency is played by Rob Harvey, who can be found on Twitter at rharvey1211. Arcana is played by Jess Benini, who can be found on Twitter at herlockholmes1. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.